If you have your Bible this morning, if you'd like to turn with us to the book of Ruth, chapter number 3. The book of Ruth, chapter number 3, and verse number 11. Amen. The Bible says this. It said, "Now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman." As we look at this morning, I'd like to preach for just a few minutes, if God will be my help, on a virtuous woman. A virtuous woman. Now, I want to say this in the beginning. Ruth hadn't always had that title. Ruth hadn't always been able to have that title because she was born into this world a long ways from being a virtuous woman. I want to say there's no person born in this woman virtuous, born in this world virtuous. No woman, man, boy, or girl with virtue in her heart. So we've all, the Bible says, we've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. And David said, "I was created, I was conceived in iniquity," because sin was always with us. Sin was there with our forefathers. They sinned, they transgressed against God, and it's been trickling down through the ages. But we see this Moabitess woman, the Bible teaches us, that God began to deal with in a magnificent way. And I want you to just think of this and recognize the sovereignty of a holy God, how God began to move and work in this. You say, "Well, preacher, boy, wasn't it a coincidence that all this happened?" I want to say there is no coincidence with God. Amen. Everything happens for a reason. I can see this. The Bible teaches us here. And this Moabitess woman. And Bible said that the kinsman redeemer tells us that thou art known as a virtuous woman. But she hadn't always been that way, because she come from a people that were ungodly. She come from an ungodly land. But the Bible tells us that now come to pass in chapter 1, in those days when the judges ruled, that there was a famine in the land. I wonder how come there was a famine in the land. It was in the house of bread, and it was in the house of praise, Bethlehem, Judea. And the Bible teaches us that there was a famine in Bethlehem, Judea, the house of bread and the house of praise. And the Bible teaches here that because of this famine, that a man took his wife and his kids, and they sojourned in the Moab. Now the man's name was Elimelech, and he sojourned with his wife Naomi and his two sons Malahan and Chilion, and they went down in the Moab. And the Bible says that they continued there in verse 2. I want to see what happens. That Elimelech got backslid on God, and he left the place where God was promised to give him bread and promised we'd be lifted up in praise. And he forsook that, and he went into a land called Moab. And the Bible says, you know, it's bad if we get caught into a backslid condition when we don't want God, don't listen to God, don't do what God would have us do. But it's a worse thing when we stay in that condition. God don't expect it. God don't want us to. And He'll help us if we'll let Him come out of that backslidden condition. We see Him, as He said, He continued in that backslid condition. Amen. When you're in a backslid condition, you can't help nobody because you don't have help yourself. And if you don't have help, encouragement yourself, there's no way that you can help someone else. But the Bible tells us of this story of this Moabitess woman, and we see that she began to be courted, if you will, by one of these sons, and they begin to have a relationship. Amen. Now I can see mom and daddy in the beginning, they probably didn't like this relationship because of this Moabitess woman. Now we said that Elimelech, he was backslid, but he wasn't totally ungodly. He knew the truth, amen, and truth makes you free. And he said, I can just imagine this as if you'll bear with me a minute, as they sit around the table, and this little Moabitess woman maybe starts coming around a little, they begin to court a little bit, and they begin to talk a little bit to each other. And maybe Ruth asked them one day, she said, I just wonder, why don't your mom and daddy like me? And they said, well, it's not that they don't like you. He said, they just don't like the God that you serve. They don't like your religion. They don't like what you stand for. They don't like the God of this land, the gods of this land. And so they begin to have a community. communication. And I believe as they begin to communicate a little bit, and maybe they begin to spend a little more time, or she begins to spend a little more time with them, I believe as they maybe as they sat at the supper table time to time, and they begin to come pray and ask God to bless that they're about to partake of, and they begin to expand, and maybe she begins to ask questions. I praise God. I'm glad for soul seekers, amen, that will ask questions about God. Don't ever turn nobody down. Don't everybody turn nobody away when they begin to seek the things of God. Amen. Praise God. Open this blessed old book. Open your heart. Praise God of love and compassion, and just inform them of how good God is. With this woman was a Moabite. She was of a heathen nation, and they begin to expand to her the things of God. I believe she began to ask some questions, and they begin to explain to her the things that God would have her know of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Maybe the story of Joshua and how good God was to him, how God blessed him even during his trials and the temptations that he went through, about how big a God they had, and they brought him through. Maybe begin to tell her about the stay in Egypt and how Moses came along, and praise God, he delivered the people of Israel out of the hands of Pharaoh, how he brought them out through the sea, and praise God, how he brought them out on dry land, how maybe he brought them into Canaan, that place of promise. Amen. Glory be to God. Glory. Hey, I'm glad that I've got salvation in my soul. I've got a place of promise today in Jesus Christ, my Savior. Amen. Maybe they begin to expand these things. And it was all foreign. It was all new to this little Moabitess woman. She lived in an ungodly heathen land with an ungodly heathen God, a vicious and a vile God. Amen. Of the land. Now listen, it wasn't so much the God that was their God that was vicious and vile. It was the priest that would lead them and point them to this awful God. Now they had a God called Chemosh, and that was a God, praise God, that they had. They served. And the Bible teaches and it shows us that he was an ungodly God. He was a God that's different from any from the God that we know. Amen. And they would these priests would go out and they would offer up sacrifices to this God. Now history teaches us that they would go out and they would find the firstborn sons, and that whenever things would get difficult, they would offer up these sons to this God. And they would build a fire underneath him. They had a platform. They'd build a fire under him, kind of like Moloch. And they'd build a fire under him. And when pestilence come and famine come and drought come, maybe the thought of war come, they would go out and these little old boys, the firstborn sons, they would gather them up. And they would take them and offer them as a sacrifice to this old vile and wicked God. Amen. You see, the gods didn't go out and collect them up. These priests went and collected them up. You say, what are you saying, Pastor Jeff? I'm seeing in my mind's eye this little maiden, this little Moabitess, Ruth, as she was brought up in that, and that was in her household. That is what she knew. That's what she was taught. And she would hear her mother and her father because of wickedness and the vileness of the God that they served, that they had to serve. So they didn't have a choice. I mean, I'm glad we got a choice, ain't you? Amen. Glory be to God. But I can see them maybe in my mind's eye how they begin to talk about this God, about these priests, and how they would go out and they would find these firstborn sons, and they would mark them with a red dye. They said from the ocean they would get a red dye and they would mark their wrists to show them that they were to be offered as sacrifices at some time. Don't you know how that tore at the hearts and the minds of the people and the parents? Amen. That their firstborn son at some time, some place, and they had no way of deterring it, had no way of stopping it. Hey, it was decided by the priest. Amen. But not only that, in that same temple, they had what they call prophetesses. And they would offer up all kind of immoral sexual deeds to the fertility God that they might have good crops and things like that. So at the same time that they was looking through all the community, looking all the sons and the firstborn of the family, they were also, the old wicked vile priest was also looking at the young ladies. Amen. He was looking at somebody that they might use for that old ungodliness of the temple. So I can see in my mind's eyes, maybe Ruth begins to, she begins to talk to some of the little Moabitess girls that she would associate with. And children aren't as dumb as we think they are. They begin to pick up little pieces here and little pieces there. And they begin to say, listen, whatever's going on up there on the hills, and it ain't good. It's nothing to be revered. It's nothing to, amen, to be partaken in. I mean, it made a fear, not of the God, but of the priest that were offering up. They were cruel and vile. They were wicked, despicable people. And I can see in my mind's eye how these little old girls, these little old boys, would get little old little old tidbits of this and that and wisdom, knowledge put together, that they begin to think, and how it began to stir in their soul and have to give them bad thoughts and maybe even come to nightmares. Amen. You say, preacher, I would never want to have a God that was like that. Amen. God ought to thrill our soul. The only thing it ought to give us nightmares is the thought of dying and going to hell without Him. Amen. But I see in my mind's eyes this little damsel. She begins to see the true and the living God, the God of Elimelech and the God of Naomi and the God of Mahlon and Chilion. And the power of God begins to move on her, and she begins to ask questions. She begins to desire and to know more. And the Bible tells us they come the day that the word come to Naomi that they was bred in Bethlehem. Amen. What she's saying, she's saying, praise God. She said, listen, I got a word from the far country. It said revival's broken out up in the house of bread. Praise has been gone out again up at the house of bread. Something's happening up in Bethlehem, Judea. Praise God. The bread's been set on the table. The praise has been lifted up to the God of glory. She said, I feel like I need to go home. Amen. Praise God, every backside slender, a backslidden sinner, praise God, would get a desire to go home. Amen? And get a desire to go back to where God would have you to be so we can get help from the Lord. So the Bible teaches us that she got up and gathered up, and she told him daughters-in-law. And now we see a sad story play out here. Now Elimelech has died, and Mahlon has died, and Chilion has died. And we see these three ladies as they go to the grave site, one maybe after another, and they embrace each other and they weep on each other, and they watch them caskets as they're laid down in the ground and covered up with dirt, and they say their final goodbyes. And maybe there was a change, some bitterness might have come up in Ruth. Maybe some bitterness toward the God of glory when she began to question why this had happened. But see, I want to say, when things like that happen in her life, we don't know a sovereign God like God knows God. We don't know what His plan is when instances happen in our life. But I'm glad that God knows. Everything works for the good. Praise God, them that love the Lord who are called according to His purpose. And praise God, I'm glad God's got a purpose for every one of us. Amen. So I can see them as they weep and they mourn as they bury the dead. Amen. And then they gather up, and Naomi said, listen, I've heard that there's food in the house of God. Revivals broke out over home. And she said, Lord, she says, girls, I got to get to it. Amen. She said, I've been down here long enough. Said, I've got to go. And these girls, they load up, and they said, well, wherever you're going, we're going with you. Amen. So the Bible teaches us here, so they gather up, and they start out the road. Praise God. And the Bible says, verse in chapter 1, verse 7 says, wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. Amen. So I see this. They all started out in the same direction. Amen. They all started out heading for that house of bread. They all started out heading for that place of praise. But the Bible teaches they didn't go very far till one of them started to turn back. Now she tells them, now this, when you're in a backslidden condition, I told you a while ago, you can't help nobody much when you're in a backslidden condition. Hey man, it's hard to witness and be a witness to somebody when you ain't living for Lord. Amen. Say man right there, praise God. You can't witness to God for God if you're living outside of God. They can't live in a backslid position and praise the Lord and be a witness. Amen. God called us when He saved us to be a witness, to have a testimony of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Glory to God. How many have you been saved this morning? Amen. Glory be to God. That testimony. Praise God. The Lord Jesus Christ moved into your heart. But they start up the road. And they all Orpha and Ruth, they say, Naomi, okay, they say, we're going with you. Amen. But notice something. They get up the road just a little ways, and Naomi, she can't help them a whole lot. Her backslid. She begins to discourage them. I believe she begins to think about what they're going to say up home when she comes back with two Moabitess women. Amen? How that's going to play out when she gets there. I want to say, praise God, if they was full of the Holy Ghost, had God been saved by the marvelous grace of Lord Jesus Christ, praise God, everything would have played out okay. But when you're in a backslid position, you can't realize that. So she begins to do the only thing she can. She begins to discourage them. She says, well, why don't you just stay here? It'd be better if you just stay here. She said, go back to where you come from. Go back to your family. Go back to your gods. Now she knew that they were no gods at all. Amen. There's only one God. Amen. Praise God. And He is God. Amen. Praise His holy name. And so by the Bible says that she kissed them and said, way up. And she tells them, go back. And so they lifted up her voice and wept again and said, and they look back and they get going down the road and Orpah starts maybe dropping behind. Amen. Starts lagging back just a little bit the farther they go. Amen. Now listen, I want to just stop here and say this. A lot of times we'll have a Holy Ghost revival. We'll have a meeting and a lot of folks will make their way down the aisle. Hello? They'll go up there and they'll pray. They'll make a profession. Amen, but it don't hardly, a lot of times it don't go far. Amen, praise God. I believe when you get saved, born again, praise God, I believe it'll keep a going. I believe, praise God, God will bring you, and when you try to deviate from where He'd have you to be, He'll bring you back. Amen, praise God. He'll bring you, I say He'll bring you back. He won't let you go too far. Amen, He'll catch up with you, praise God. He'll pull you back in. I hear amen out there. Amen, praise God. He'll get your attention. But I see Orpah, she begins to drag back. She begins to lag back a little bit. Amen. She begins to look back. Remember what happened? Now, you got to remember, now, listen to me. These Moabite girls, they were descendants of Lot. They were the incestual children of Lot. Amen. They were conceived in iniquity, conceived in sin. Moab was the sin, the sinful lust of the flesh, praise God, that brought about the Moabites and the Ammonites, who were always at adversaries of Israel, always in contention with God's people. So we see this thing playing out, and we see these folks are going, and Orpah begins to look back. Now, Bible said Lot's wife looked back, and she turned into a pillar of salt. That's what happens when you start looking back. You're made useless. Amen. You don't have no usefulness in your life when you begin to look back. Amen. Praise God. If we look back, we ought to look back and just praise God for where He brought us from. Amen. Then we ought to look back ahead and thank God for where He's taking us to. Amen. I pray God, because we've got a purpose and a plan. We've got a place that God has laid out for us. But the Bible says that Orpah said they lift up their voices and they weigh up verse 14 again. And said, Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. I see in my mind's eye, I see Orpah. She said, hey, listen. Her mother said, I'd like to go with you, but they said, I just begin to think about all the things here, the people, the places, the things that I have here. And she said, I just can't go no further. Amen. I believe that's what happens a lot in Christian life. In life, people make a profession, but they don't have a possession, and they go a little way. Jesus gave us an example of that with the sower and the seed and the soil. Amen. Praise God. He said, if the sower's right and the seed is right and the soil is right, praise God, said it'll take root and it'll grow, praise God, into something beneficial for the good of all. But she began to look back and she began to long for that what she had, and she turned back. Now she kissed her mother, amen, a mother-in-law, and she headed back toward home. And I can see in my mind's eye, no matter how far she went down the road and maybe turned around several times, you know, with little pathetic waves as she went, until she finally went off out of sight to be seen no more into eternity, lost without God. How many people in our lives have we seen that's eased down the road with a pathetic wave and went off into eternity lost without God? But the Bible says that Ruth clave unto her. Amen? Praise God. Ain't you glad that they some help and hope in the Lord? Praise God. The Bible says they went on down to, they headed on toward Bethlehem. And when they come into that Bethlehem, and praise God, they begin to come into that house of bread, the house of prayer. And it was, the Bible says in verse 22 that it was the beginning of barley harvest. So you can see them as they pull into town, Naomi and Ruth. Now, I'm just trying my best to paint you a picture. You bear with me. We're going somewhere this morning. I'll try not to be too long, but I want to give you this. God, give it to me. We see them as they come into town. Brother X, they go in, maybe end up in the poorest part of town. Don't know how they're going to make it. Just two women alone. Nobody to take care of them. But they have a prayer and a promise. I'm a holy God. And they begin to ask questions. The Bible says in verse to chapter 2, verse 1, said Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. But listen to what happened. Said Ruth the Moabite, said unto Naomi, let me now go into the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. Now I want you to see what plays out right here. We see a holy God moving in this. We see the sovereign God moving in this. We see God begin to take hands. And I see him as Ruth says, she says, mother, what are we going to do? He said, we're here. We're in the poor part of town. We don't have nothing. We don't have no means, nobody, nothing, nobody to provide for us. But Naomi looks there. She said, listen, daughter, in this place, this community, this country, which we live, which we come into, she said, there's a Social Security program. It's unlike any Social Security program in the world. He said it's set up for folks just like us, those that's poor and needy. God said he would not look over them, but he would, well, glory, somebody just shout, said he would supply the need. He said they make a purpose and a plan so we can go into the fields, and on the edges of the fields, they'll leave some a purpose that we can go in and glean it, and whatever we glean out, it's ours. And boy, I can see a little Moabite's eyes as they light up. And she said, whatever I can glean, I can keep. She said, yes, ma'am. He said, whatever you can glean out, whatever you can get, you can keep. Amen. I'm glad for what we can glean out. Amen. Glory be to God. What we glean out, the Word of God and the things of God, praise God, we get to keep. Amen. Nobody can take it away from us. So I see in my mind's eye this little Moabite's woman. She comes down, maybe down through that little village early, early in the morning to break a dawn. And she weaves her way through that little village street down there at the edge of a great big field. And she stops there. Amen. Transpose the edge of that field, wondering what to do next. Amen. But Brother Larry, I believe there's a God of heaven, a sovereign God who's already got a plan for this Moab. I know that he does. This little Moabite, this damsel, I prayed God before she was ever conceived in her mother's womb. God said, I'm going to take that and I'm going to make that and I'm going to use that for my glory, that I might show people my power in a day. Amen. So the Bible said that. The Bible says this. Now listen to what the Bible says here in verse 3. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on the part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. The good sovereign God of God done had a plan. And she got to the edge of the field. It was the edge of his field. And said, when you get to the edge of the field, praise God. He said, she said, should I go this way or should I go that way? He said, go the right way, praise God. That little damsel didn't guess. She didn't wait. Praise God, she headed in the direction God would send her. And she began to glean in the field. Amen. Began to glean in the field. And the Bible says that, and behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, verse number 4, and said unto the reapers, Lord be with you. And they answered him and said, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, now listen to her request. And she said, I pray you, let me glean together after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning unto now that she tarry a little in the house. Amen. He said, who is this damsel? Said, she's that one that came with Naomi. He said, well, praise God. What a blessing. And then said, Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go forth hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels. Glory be to God. Do you hear what he's saying? He says, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Boy, I see that the power of a holy and righteous God as God begins to move on the scene. And not only does he begin to supply for this little Moabitish woman, praise God, the food that she needs. But he said, that drink, praise God. He said, when you're thirsty, he said, you go ahead and glean. You go ahead and pick and pull that you can. He said, but when you get thirsty, he said, I've got water for you. Amen. Lord God, I'm glad there's a living water that flows from the Word of God and true to God and the God of glory and the throne room of grace. And it flows down to me and you. And whenever we're thirsty, praise God, he said, we can pull up to the spout where the glory comes out and get to satisfy our thirst. Amen. Not only did he say, I'll not have you hungry, he said, I'll not have you thirsty either. Amen. God be the glory. So we see her, she begins to glean. Amen. Now we're talking about a virtuous woman. Amen. How she got there. Because she wasn't always that. Amen. Listen, you may be here this morning, no devil's trying to give you a fit. He said, listen, he said, you have no right because you're not but look what you've did. But I want to say, praise God, look what God can do. Bless his holy name. And the Bible said, then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, she said, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? Amen. But listen to what answered old Boaz. He says, verse 11 of chapter 2, and Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and thy land of nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not hitherto. Amen, or hitherfore. Amen. He says, praise God. He said, it's been showed to me where you come from. It's been showed to me what you've done. You know what he was saying? He said, I begin to realize where your heart is. Amen. I won't say that's what God looks for. That's what Christ looks for. That's what the Holy Ghost of God looks for. He looks to see where our heart is so that he can help us. Amen. He said, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord, God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, O Lord, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaiden, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. She said, listen. She said, I'm not like these others. She said, I don't know what I need to know. I don't know where I need to do, where I need to go. I don't know what I need to do. But she said, I want to thank you for comforting me. I want you to thank you for comforting me. I want you to thank you for loving me, praise God, in the way that you're showing me grace in your eyes. Then the Bible said, then she said, Boaz said unto her, verse 14, at mealtime come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel into the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed and left. And now I want you to notice Boaz. And now we know that he's a type of a kinsman redeemer. He's a type of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he bids her, he said, listen, he said, glory be to God. Somebody ought to shout. He said, you don't have to go no further than you've gone. He said, you've come to the right place at the right time. He said, you're at the right table. Praise God, sit down. He said, dine a while. And the Bible said he took the parchment, praise God, the parched corn in his own hand, and he handed her to eat. Amen. I want to say that's what God, the Holy Ghost, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, does for us. He takes that grain, praise God. He takes that food, that manna from heaven, praise God, and he hands us down. He feeds, hand feeds us, praise God, from the word of truth. Praise his holy name. we see this thing playing out. The Bible said when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves and reproach her not. He said, you know what he's saying? He says, praise God, she's had a desire. Amen. She had done what she need to do. She had done fell down prostrate before his feet. She had done bowed before his feet. And she said, I'm not worthy to be here. Praise God, I'm just trusting you. Amen. That's what we got to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. We just got to bow down at his feet and trust him, praise God, to make a difference in our lives. He's the only one that can. We see Boaz, he instructs his young men. He said, you leave her alone and let her glean even among the sheaves. He said, you let her get over there. She wants to where that good stuff is. Amen. I don't want her just get those drugs, those things that's left. He said, I want her to get to that good manna. Bible says in verse 16, and he said, let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them and rebuke her not. Amen. Can you see it? That's what the Lord does for us, youngins. When we put our faith and trust in, praise God, he lets us glean in the best spots. He lets us get the best things that God has to give, praise God. And he's there to help us, to suffice us. Bless his holy name. Said she sat down and she ate and she was sufficed. She had plenty and then some. She had enough left, praise God, she stashed some back for later. I'm glad my God's that way, ain't you? Amen. He gives us a plenty, praise God, and gives us some for later. And the Bible goes on and it says, now watch this. He said, so she gleaned in the fields until evening, beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Now that's a bushel and three pints. Amen. She took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. Amen. So we see as Ruth, as she gathers this up and she gleans it out and she beats it out and she takes that grain, a bushel and three pints, and she goes carrying it on her back, amen, takes it back to Naomi, back through that little winding street, back through that little village, back to that little poor house, that little poor apartment they was living in, and she goes in and she opens it up and she shows her what she's got. Amen. And then she reaches in, takes out that was sufficed, that was left over, praise God. She said, not only did I have that, but I got this. He said, praise God. And Naomi, I can just imagine this. Now, I know my mind runs crazy, but I began to think on this, how Naomi, as Ruth come back in, now Naomi was a woman of Bethlehem, Judea. She knew about gleaning. She knew about the poor. She knew about the Social Security program of Bethlehem, Judea. And she began to look at this, and she began to see what Ruth had done bought back on her first day out. I mean, unexperienced, a gleaner in the field. Amen. She had not come back, but maybe just a few handfuls of grain after it's beaten out. But she comes back with a bushel and three quarts. Amen. And she opens that up and she says, no, that's not all of it. Look what I got. And she reaches and pulls out that Boaz, that parsed corn and that sustenance that Boaz had hand given her. He said, not only that, but I got this too. Now in my mind's eye, I can see Naomi. And she looks at that, and she looks at the barley. She looks at that was sufficed, that was left over at parsed corn, the things that she had. And she begins to wonder in her mind. Amen. She begins to wonder, this little Moabitess woman. Now she don't know nothing about gleaning. How in the world is she able to come by this much, this quick? That's what me and you would think. And she said, maybe she's went back to her Moabitess ways. Maybe she's done something devious. Maybe she didn't go glean down to fields. Maybe while the gleaners was gleaning fields, while the harvesters were harvesting fields, maybe she snuck up out to the barn. That's the way me and you would think a lot of times. We'd have one, praise God, not knowing that God Almighty had done, in the sovereignty of God, he had provided, praise God, for them. She begins to wonder about it. She begins to question it. She is surprised at what they had. Amen. But she begins to question her. She begins to ask her. And she said, and verse 19 of chapter 2 said, and her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? Question mark. And where wroughtest thou? Where'd you do this? Where'd you do all this work at? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, the man's name whom I wrought with today is Boaz. Now I can see this in my mind's eyes as Naomi begins to question her. And she begins to ask her some questions. And she said, I found a field. Amen. And she said, I don't know how. I just come to directed to a field, and I chose the right direction, it seems like. And I just went in that field. And in that field, I found a man. Hello? Now you begin to really wonder about her Moabitess heritage. Amen? And Naomi begins to ask questions. And she said, how did you get this great amount of grain? She said, well, I met a man today in the field. And he said, that man was very kind to me. Amen? Praise God. He said, you met a man? Really? And where did you meet this man? She said, well, I met him in the field. He said, well, what's this man's name? You know, I can see in my mind's eye, Ruth said quickly without hesitation, said, oh, I'll never forget his name. His name is Boaz. Glory be to God. Hey, listen, it's like my Savior. I'll never forget that name. Praise God. His name is Jesus. And Naomi, a light goes off in her head. She said, Boaz. He said, Ruth, he's a near kinsman to us. He's a near kinsman. Amen. This Boaz, he's near of kin. I can see in my mind's eye, Ruth don't know nothing about that. She said, Mother, what does that mean? What does it mean, a near kinsman? She said, oh, but listen. Said, he's the only man in this whole world that can get you into the family of God. Amen. He's the only one that can make you part of the family. Amen. Praise God. So what happens? Amen. Naomi said unto her, verse 20, under daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness in the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabite said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. Amen. Ain't that what God wants us to do? Just stay near him, praise God, all the harvesting's done. Praise the Lord. But I see in my mind's eye, and I'm trying to hurry, trying to quit, trying to finish. Praise God, I see in that my mind's eye. He said, he's the only one. He's the only one, praise God, that can get you into the family of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And she says, well, Mother says, what must I do? What must I do? Praise God. Amen. To become part of the family. Amen. She said, well, one thing you've got to do. She said, you've got to go back. You've got to go and you've got to get at his feet. Amen. The safest place, the most important place for us is at Jesus' feet. Amen. We've got to get at his feet. We've got to bow down his feet. We've got to praise him. Praise God because of who he is. She begins to lay it out. She begins to give her a plan. And he said in verse chapter number 3, she said, now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast. Behold, he willeth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself therefore, anoint thee, and put on raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man until he hath done eating and drinking. And it shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet, and lie thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me I will do. And she went down to the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. You know what she did? She didn't ask questions. She didn't make excuses. But the Bible says that she's done exactly what Naomi told her to do. She said, what do I got to do? She said, you got to go down there. You got to find him and you got to get at his feet. Amen. I want to say, praise God, those that seek in the Lord Jesus Christ will find him when we find ourselves at his feet. Amen. Praise God. Better still, at the foot of the old rugged cross where he died for your sins and mine. Amen. Praise God. We see her as she bows down. As she goes to the threshing floor. She finds Boaz and she bows at his feet. And she says, what must I do? She said, you got to go get at his feet. Amen. She said, you got to ask him. She said, well, what am I going to do when he asked me? And he said, you got to ask him to redeem you. Amen. You got to ask him to marry you. Amen. You got to ask him to make you his own. Amen. That's what we got to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We got to ask him. We got to ask him to forgive our sins. We got to ask him, amen, to receive us while we're at his feet. We got to ask him, forgive us our sins. We got to ask him to become the bridegroom. Amen. In our lives, praise the Lord, so that he can become that he wants to be for you and I. You say, what took place? The Bible said that he did. Amen. It said, it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself. Behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. And he said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. Amen. And then this is where she gets her virtue. He said, and now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest. What did she require? She got at his feet and she said, I want you to cover me with your skirt. She said, I want you to marry me. I want you to take me. I want you to take me as your own. Amen. She said, I want to become one with you. Praise the Lord. I want you to make me your own. And he does. And he says, now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. Amen. Ruth didn't doubt. She didn't question. Naomi said, listen, said, you got to go and you got to get at his feet. You got to ask him to, praise God, to make you and take you into his family. Praise God. And he did. Amen. He took her into his family. She became part. And she went back home to her mother with six measures of barley that morning and laid it on her. And she said, and she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, who art thou, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done unto her. And she said, these six measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. Amen. When God begins to bless you, just notice how he blesses others around you. Amen. He said, then said she, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not rest, not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. Amen. When we go to Lord Jesus Christ, praise God, a virtuous woman, go to the Lord, bow at his feet, ask him to come in her heart. Amen. Make him her own. Marry him. Make him your own. Praise God. But see, a Moabitess couldn't have a chance at doing that. Because Moabites, through the law, amen, had been excommunicated, you might say, from the religion of the Jew. They weren't able to even worship God in the temple of God till the 10th generation. Amen. She had no place, no plan, no purpose. But God Almighty in his sovereignty, all through all that, and he began to bless and he began to move in his sovereignty. And he began to make a way through Boaz, the kinsman redeemer. Praise God. And the Bible tells us here that when that Boaz went into her and that she conceived and had a son and named and called his name, the women called his name Obed. Now, Obed means worshiper. Amen. You say, how could that be? Obed couldn't be a worshiper because it was the 10-year. Ruth couldn't be a part of the worship. Her son couldn't be a part. Her grandson, her great-grandson couldn't be a part of the worship. But God Almighty takes it back to Perez. Amen. And he says, he tells Boaz in this exclamation in chapter 4, he said, let thy house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. Amen. And then they said that they restored it. They called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse and the father of David. Now these are the generations of Perez. Now look what God does here through his sovereignty. He said, now these are generations of Perez. Perez begot Hezron. Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Abinadab. Abinadab begot Nashon. Nashon begot Solomon. Solomon begot Boaz. Boaz begot Obed. Obed begot Jesse. And Jesse begot David. Praise God, there's 10 generations. God said through He said through the kinsman redeemer, God has made a way for her to become part of the family of God. Amen. Part of the inheritance. Praise God, it's through that that she became a virtuous woman by trusting in the Lord, by staying with God, by never giving up. Amen. God Almighty made a way through the kinsman redeemer. Amen. The same way, young, listen to me, the same way God's made a way through our kinsman redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, praise God, that through Him we might be saved. Praise God. A little heathen girl. Amen. That's all. Hey, listen, we're just all heathens lost without God till we're saved. Amen. All born in sin and iniquity till we've been born again, born from above. Amen. We can't pray our way in. We can't act our way in, praise God. We can try. The only way to get in is through the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way to be saved is through our kinsman redeemer. Praise God. Do you see how God worked this out? God, through a kinsman redeemer. Before Ruth was ever born, God had already set a plan in motion. Amen. That He would bring out, that she would be in the line of the generations of the king of Israel, that she'd be in the line of the generations of the Redeemer that would come. Amen. Praise God. God worked it out through a virtuous woman. I wonder, ladies, what God wants to do through you as a virtuous woman. If we'd surrender ourselves, surrender our life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Like Ruth, no questions asked. Just say, Lord, here am I. Here am I.